Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. As I hear about Westview, the one thing that always comes up are just the people. The people are incredible. And I would just echo that in just the short amount of time that I have been on campus here this morning. It has been, I've just been so warmly received, delightful to work with some of the different teams. And there is just an authentic, true love of Christ in this body. So grateful to be a part of this with you here this morning. Just a little bit of background about myself. If any of you, I don't know if any of you can relate to this, that I'm a very much a picture of love changes things. So what I mean by that is I was never going to live on a farm. I was never going to live in a small town, probably not the state of Iowa, and check, check, check. I do all three of those things. As Suzanne said, I live in Pella right now, but I married my best friend in 2020, and he wanted to stay close to the farm, small town. And of all of the ministry that I get to do, that I'm honored to do, it's the ministry that I do in my house with our three kids that is my favorite. So we have a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old, and they are getting ready to launch into the world. And so if any of you have launched kids and you have any advice for me on how to close this chapter well and welcome in the next chapter, I'm all ears, because that's the reality of where I'm at right now. And then we have one freshman left, and he attends Pella High School. And the life on the farm, it brings a lot of adventures with it. I don't know, any farm, kind of farm backgrounds in here? Okay. So this is just kind of a side note, funny story. My youngest son has a miniature Australian Shepherd, and she was about ready to shed everywhere this winter, and I said, I just can't do it anymore. We need to kick her out. So we had up a pen and a barn and that kind of stuff. Well, my daughter came home from college, and she loves Angel, is the mini Aussie's name, and she said, oh, no, I'm going to give her a bath and just let her come and sleep in with me. And I said, that's fine. So gave her a bath, and I had noticed that she'd been gaining some weight over the winter and stuff like that, winter pounds, that kind of thing. And Annika, my daughter, came in and said, Mom, Angel's not fat. Angel's pregnant. Had no idea that our miniature poodle had been with her a little bit too long. And so 2 weeks later, she delivered these miniature Aussie doodles. So that's a little bit of the flavor of what happens in our farm. Is sometimes it feels a little bit more like a funny farm than it does a regular farm. I've also been honored to be on staff at Third Church in Pella for the past 20 years. I started in children's ministry, have worked with a variety of teams there. About 10 years ago, felt an invitation from the Lord to be commissioned, and so I'm now commissioned at Third. When people say, well, what is your title? I will often say, I feel like I'm the Forrest Gump of the Western Church. And some of you young kids might not understand that reference, but I've just been blessed to rub shoulders with some of the most incredible leaders. I've had a lot of great mentors and a lot of great coaches from the nation, as well as just brilliant minds that in both leadership staff and lay leadership at Third. So what that means is I get to work with our teams. So now I lead the children, the student, the adult, the worship, the prayer, and the outreach teams at Third. A little bit about me. I'm understanding that you are coming out of a season of asking and answering questions from the Bible, from the journey of Lent. And I love some of the questions that I heard that you have been stirring with. Who is this? Who is it that's going to betray me? Do you understand what I've done for you? And Pastor Josh, I'm guessing that you were glad that you were able to give the sunrise service last week and not this week with the snow that was here. You know, and then last Sunday, as you got to celebrate the resurrection, the good news of the gospel, right? And there's so much hope, and you live with this resurrection power. There's the reality of that that just comes in a beautiful way in Easter, isn't it? Jesus lives from eternity to eternity. Yet it's mind-blowing. Somehow he comes to our small planet, our small town, our small lives. And he comes and he lives and he dwells within us, his resurrected power. We are forever connected by this empty tomb. And now what? So today I start with a question of now what? Especially all that's happening amidst society in this cultural moment, right? And there's a song that often goes through my head when I start to think about this point in history. Perhaps you've heard it. And I want to invite those worship leaders back up here. They were, those folks were incredible and so young. Can we just give them a round of applause? They are incredible. So impressive. So I will not sing. You do not want to hear that. But Buddy Holly, Ben Hur, Space Monkey Mafia, Hula Hoops, Castro, Edsel, Innocent, No-Go, U2, Sigmund Rhee, Paleo, and Kennedy, Chubby Checker, Psycho, Belgians in the Condo. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to ride it. Anybody recognize this tune? Billy Joel. Yep, Billy Joel, late 80s. I've read that it was actually inspired by Sean Lennon, who was sharing how sad he was growing up in this era. And he wished he could have grown up during an era where, quote, nothing was happening. So Billy Joel began to write down this list of historical people and events beginning in his birth year of 1949. This song, anybody who's a music fan, this song hit number one on the billboards, knocking off Milli Vanilli's Blame It on the Rain. There's a blast from the past, right? And again, some of you under 30 might not be able to track with me right now. But this song helped to provide a generation of kids with a valuable history lesson. It goes on. Birth control, Ho Chi Minh, Richard Nixon, back again. Moonshot, Woodstock, Watergate, punk rock. Begin, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline. Ayatollahs in Iran, Russia's in Afghanistan. Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debt, homeless vets, AIDS cracked, Bernie gets. Hypodermics on the shore, China's under martial law, rock and roller cola wars, I can't take it anymore. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. So we've been handed, yeah, that was like the perfect ending, wasn't it? So we've been handed this gift of the good news and resurrected power. And then, in this fallen world, it serves as a reminder, the song, what I love about the song, it serves as a reminder that there has been injustice a long time before we have stepped on the scene, hasn't there? And much of these wrongs, much of these injustices come because people are trying to build their own empire. Injustices, self-made empires, these are themes that are definitely threaded throughout Scripture. And the Word of God has things to share with us on that. That's where we're going to head here this morning. Would you pray with me? Loving God, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, how we long to see your resurrected power break through. How we long to see your kingdom come here on earth and your will be done just as it is in heaven. And so I pray for us friends who are gathered here today that you would speak to each one of us, Holy Spirit. I pray that, there's a lot going on this weekend. And for these next moments, could we just lay those things down and hear from your word? I pray that we would receive your love from the throne room. And I pray that you would encourage and equip us to go out and live the life that you have called for each one of us to live. So we welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We welcome the love of God to be poured into this place. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. We're turning to Micah this morning. And if you want to follow, if you brought a Bible or on your phone, I'm going to be using the NIV version this morning. Some of you may know, may not know, Micah is considered one of the minor prophets. And we don't really know a whole lot about him, except for that he was a prophet in the 8th century. So the three contemporaries that he was a prophet to, Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea. And Micah was a voice for those who were downtrodden. He was a voice for those who had been exploited by the upper class. Particularly, he was a voice for the poor farmers who were suffering at the hands of the powerful landlords. So Micah 6 is where we're going to start. And all of this turmoil has been going on as we head into Micah 6. And it starts with God's judgment. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. He continues to say, My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgag, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. So as he rebukes, he calls them to remember what he has done. And then the people respond. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And I read a lot of commentaries on this, and there was really no, I'm not sure what the tone of this was. So some commentaries think that they were kind of mocking the Lord in this, that they were thinking that they were above the Lord and his and what was coming, the coming judgment. And some believe that this was sincere and similar to what the system was in order to clean themselves after they had been found guilty. But either way, those things are not what the Lord's heart is about. He goes on, very famous passage in Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, Israel, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. People of God, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So now what? These things seem a little bit almost elementary. But let's dive into them just for a little while. If I could get that first slide. To act justly is mishpat. To love mercy, hesed. And to walk humbly, sane. What does God expect? One of the reasons why I love this text is that it is as relevant to our world today as it was to the world in which Micah lived. To act justly, mishpat. There's a couple of quotes here. Justice is nothing other than love working out its problems. Another one, justice is truth in action. And here's a working definition I'm going to use today. Justice is doing what is right, creating due order out of divine law, even when it's uncomfortable or popular. God expects us to do justly in our daily relationships. Now, justice is an easy word to say. It can roll off the tongue. But it's a difficult word to live because there is so much injustice in our world. Some of the original text says, do justly instead of act justly. And that implies that we, you and I, we are the agents of putting everything in its proper place. We are doing our part in our spheres of influence. And that looks different for each one of us. As our identity is in Christ, you are a son, you are a daughter of the King. And we have people and things that have been entrusted to our care, that we have authority within. So the kiddos that are left in the room, you have brothers, you have sisters, you have teammates, you have classmates. Where can you do your part to be honest and kind in your friendships, in your relationships, in your home? I understand most students right now are on a retreat, I think, this weekend. But any students here, you also are invited to do justly with your words and your actions. During this time, during this developmental age, it's so easy to live a split life. But who are you when no one is looking? What language do you use? Are you living honestly in your academics and your studies? Are you living honorably in your relationships? And for all of us adults in the room, are we seeking to do what is right in God's eyes? Or are we too worried about the eyes of the world or culture? What does it look like for love to work out its problems in your life, in your sphere of relationships? I have a friend who often asks the question, how can I let love return here? In a situation, that's her prayer. How can I let love return here? And for some of us, that call is to act justly within the walls of our home. And for others, there's calls for local, national, global justice. I found personally that for me, an examine at the end of my day is a good discipleship tool for me to reflect on whether or not I have done justly in my relationships. And that often for me goes back to checking the motives of my heart. Whenever we see situations that need love, that need truth, if we're to do what God expects of us, then we must work to bring justice in our daily relationships. Next one, love mercy, hesed. This Hebrew word is a beautiful word. It's used almost 250 times in the Old Testament. There's not an English word that can translate it. Sometimes our Bibles translate it as mercy, grace, love, sometimes loving kindness. But it's really all of those things and more simply tied into one. And the beautiful thing about hesed as it's used, it was used frequently to describe God's love for His chosen people. And then it's the expected response for God's chosen people to show and reflect back to God. So I was driving from Pella this morning, and I was sharing with Josh. Josh, if I'm a little slow this morning, it's because I didn't get my coffee. I thought that I was going to be sipping on coffee the whole way here, and instead I had to have two hands on the wheel because of the the weather and the wind. But it gave me some good time to pray for each of you, to pray for this service, And just to ask the Lord and reflect, is there anything else that I hadn't thought of before that you wanted to share with these people? And I had a sense that it was right here in the word hesed. And just a reminder that that's God's love for you. You are his chosen people. And he has a steadfast, loving kindness for you. And just an invitation, are you able to find space to be intentional about allowing his love to come and receiving his love? You set the table where you can come and feast on his love. That's what I sensed he just shared with me on the way here. To ensure that you knew that, of his divine love for you. Using this original language, we can begin to put together, and it's on the screen there, what God expects. A steadfast, unswerving devotion. A loyalty expressed in love. Compassionate faithfulness. The scriptures, Micah reminds us, he didn't want our sacrifice. The previous verses referred to the elaborate system in which they would pay for one's inability or one's unwillingness to keep the law. No, God wants a response of hesed love. But how do we transplant that in today? What does all of this mean? And I know we could go 100 different directions. But today, with hesed love, what I'd like to do is focus on something that each one of us in this room have capacity to do. And that's to listen to one another. Truly listening to one another, it says, I see you. You are known. I value you. You belong here. Now, if Billy Joel would have continued his lyrics, it might include things like tech addictions, the rise of robots, cyber warfare, glass ceilings, nothing succeeding like excess. The list goes on and on. And we're in this cultural moment where things are created with the intention of our lives going faster and faster and faster and having the surface level appearance that we're connected when we're failing to connect deeply. Michael Chong is the author of a book called Uber Trends. He says, as technology becomes more tightly interwoven in the fabric of life, the computer is becoming us, and we're becoming the computer. Beneath this fast-paced life, people are becoming more anxious, more isolated, more lonely. And I wonder if at this time, one of the best ways we can show hesed is to listen, to incarnationally listen to one another. What does that mean? Simply put, it's listening with the heart of Jesus. How did Jesus listen? He listened intentionally and attentively. In Luke 8, he said, be careful how you listen. So in these days when stress is high, oftentimes spirits are low, people are anxious and hurting, we as Christians, we as the body can be intentional in how we listen. Now, oftentimes when stress is high, people find themselves talking more, hoping that that will solve problems. But what if the key to finding lasting solutions is rooted in how well we listen? My husband will often do this for me. And just last week, I was sharing about a situation. And one thing that happens in incarnational listening is you start to notice those tapes in your head that need to be redeemed. And so I got done sharing my story, and sure enough, a tape that he hears often was, you're not good enough. And when I finished my story, he looked into my eyes and he said, my wish for you, my hope, is that you wouldn't allow yourself to play that tape anymore. In that moment, he saw me with the eyes of Jesus. I hope that each one of you have somebody who sees you, who listens to you with the eyes of Jesus. And I believe that each one of us can do that for each other. My dad passed away 3 years ago. Wow, we miss him. He was a man who listened. And my kids, we tell lots of stories. We tell lots of stories about him. But the one that always comes up is at his visitation funeral. We had about 12 people who shared with us, "Your dad was my best friend." We heard that constantly. "Your dad was my best friend. Your dad was my best friend." We heard that 12 times because he was a man who listened. He was a man who saw. It's a wonderful way to display a steadfast devotion, a loyalty expressed in love, to show compassion. The last thing Micah invites us to is to walk humbly. Sana. Living our lives so that others can see something of God in us. I talked a little bit about the heart before, but so important to examine the motives of the heart. Many kings are mentioned in the Bible, but as we look at Saul, David, and Solomon, the thing that separated them was their heart's motive. So as you may recall, Saul was powerful. The Bible says he was pleasant to look at. God chose him as he started kingship for Israel. He had some great victories. And then his heart changed. It became selfish. And he lashed out with fits of jealousy over David. And life didn't end well for Saul. Fast forward to Solomon, who also started well. He asked for wisdom over wealth. He enjoyed being the king who built the first temple. He was the last ruler of the United Israel kingdom. But he became obsessed with many worldly things. And ultimately, he desired to build an empire for himself and not the Lord. Like Saul and Solomon, David's hands were not clean from sin either. But his life ended with him being called a man after God's own heart. How could this be? I think one of the answers comes in Psalm 51. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David committed adultery, let me read David's response. Listen to his heart in these scriptures. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." David turned his heart towards confession and repentance. He turned back to God. And he recognized once again God's greatness, not his own. He was a man who stumbled, but returned to obedience. Another thing in humility that we get to do is seize those opportunities to do the things that God would be doing. I don't know when you hear the word humbly what that resonates with you. So often people think it means doing great things to appear religious. Maybe it's like teaching or becoming a missionary, teaching a Sunday school class, and all of those are great things. However, walking humbly with God simply means living our lives so that others can see something of God in us. Walking humbly means living in quiet fellowship with God, meaning to seize the opportunities to do the things that God would be doing. And we get to do that with Jesus and his resurrected power. As I define walking humbly, living quiet fellowship with God, do you have anybody that comes to mind? Anybody in your life that has been an example of that for you? I'm going to end with a story here. One of the things that I teach a cycling class at our local gym, and had a student who shared during this, one of the classes that I created was a Final Four when the Iowa women were in the Final Four. We've avid Hawkeye fan. Any other Hawkeye fans in the room? Yeah? Woo! Yeah! Amen. And so I created a spin class based on the Final Four. And this young gal, this young cyclist came to me and she said, you know, the other day I saw this picture go by on Facebook. And it was a picture of my mom playing basketball and with Lisa Bluter. And I had no idea that mom played basketball with Lisa Bluter at UNI. So I called her. I said, Mom, is this really you in the picture? She's like, yeah. Lisa's one of the nicest people that I've ever met. And that was it. She's 25, this young gal's 25, 30 years old. She never knew that her mom. And then she said, my mom is one of the most humble people I've ever met. And I just wonder, wouldn't that be the most beautiful comment that any of us could receive? Could you imagine if the world would be able to say of us Christians, the body of Christ, wow, that person, they're Christian. They're the nicest person that I've ever met. They're the most humble person that I've ever met. When we do that, we're seizing those opportunities to do the things that God would be doing. So we didn't start the fire. We have our short time here on this little blue dot called Earth. But we are invited to usher in God's shalom through Mishpat, Hesed, Sane, justice, mercy, and humility. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we ask if there is, what the response is that you would like for us to walk in as we go out of these doors this week. Is there a relationship in which you are inviting us to act justly upon? Is there a place or someone where you would like us to release your loving kindness? Perhaps through listening to a story. Or Lord, are you inviting us to examine the motives of our heart towards a specific situation, to ensure that they're pure, that we're following your ways, that we're obeying your words, that it could be said of us like it is of David, that we are friends of God, that we are men and women after your own heart. Are there any areas in our lives in which you're inviting us to walk in a humble manner? And we pray through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit that we would release more of your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.